Thank you.
Gabe, Jerry. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 32 now. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Read with me again the first four verses of Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is him. For the previous 4 or 5 years, we have experienced severe drought around here, haven't we? And perhaps this message would have been more well received or more precious and refreshing then than now. I can't help but believe that the Lord is now bringing so much rain, sending so much rain, because folks probably haven't thanked him for the rain. We went so long without it, and I'm sure people were begging for it, and then the Lord sends it, and very few probably thank him for it. Like the children of Israel, remember they said, we want meat. We're tired of this manna. We want meat. Remember? They said, we're so tired of this light bread. They didn't deserve that. We want meat. So God said, okay, it's going to come out your nostrils. We'll send so much of it. Right? Also, I think this is should be a reminder to everyone that very easy to see that God could destroy this whole planet by water, isn't it? One day of rain, a torrent like we had yesterday, can wipe out a lot of things. How about 40 days and 40 nights? Well, anyway, for those who realize that we still are in a drought, I'm not talking about physically. We still are in a drought right now, spiritual drought, the worst it's ever been. It's only going to get worse, I believe. So those that realize this, they sing that song, showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. And for those who realize that, perhaps this message will be greatly refreshing. Again, I can't make it so. I can't make it so. What is preaching? I sat there thinking about that. What is preaching? Is it the preacher getting all excited and moving the people to do this and do that? Is it my ability to make things interesting? Is it my ability to say things that move you? No, it is not. It's the faithful standing up and declaration of this book. That's all it is. More than anything, it's just the declaration of God's Word. And if God is pleased, He can take a still small voice and break the hardest heart. If God is not pleased, all the enthusiasm I can muster, all the emotion that I can bring forth will not cause anybody to dance. All the weeping will not cause anybody to mourn. But if God is pleased, it's the faithful declaration of His Word. What am I going to do this morning? By His help, I'm just going to look at these verses. Verse 1. The Lord speaks in His Word and says, "Give ear, O ye heavens." Now, these are not the words of Moses. It's written, the Song of Moses, but none of this book is written by men. Not one word. This is the Word of God. If it were only the words of Moses, then you can take them or leave them. Right? If it were only the words of Moses, then I can stand up and quote Confucius, as well as Moses. This is God's Word. And so they're not words to be taken lightly. That's what He said. That's how He begins this whole thing. Give ear. See, God commands the heavens to listen. Give ear, O ye heavens. Look down at God's Word, verse 46 and 7, which we did not read, which are some of my favorite verses. Verse 46 and 47, He said unto them, "Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children." Teach this to your children to observe to do all the words of this law, of God's Word. It's not a vain thing for you. It's your life. This is your life. It really is. We say that, don't we? I say it. You say it. We all say it. Christ is our life. Worship is our life. Well, here we are. Here we are. And so we should be saying, "Lord, quicken me. Make me alive to your words of life." You see, it is a savor of life unto life. It is a savor of life unto life. Only life responds to life. Only life responds to life. Dead people won't respond to the words of life. Only those that are alive. But sometimes we get so feeling so dead, so cold. Lord, say, "Lord, quicken me according to your word." And then there's never been a more glorious passage written in all of God's word than right here, what we're reading this morning. Give ear, O ye heavens. Give ear. God commands that the heavens listen when He speaks. You reckon they do? You reckon they do? You reckon the angels and the cherubs and the seraphs stop and hush their mouths and listen? How careful do you think they listen? Give ear, O ye heavens. Hear, I'll speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. This is written to the creatures of this earth. This is to whom this applies, you and me. This applies to us. It doesn't apply to the angels. Are you with me? Come on, give ear, O ye earth. We got ears to hear, Lord. Let them hear. Give ear, O ye earth. This is to whom this applies. Poor, needy creatures like we are. We're poor and needy. And some, truly, are doomed and dying. Truly. This is like a man standing up, hollering fire to folks in a burning building. It's so. And only if He, by His grace and mercy through the preaching of the gospel, plucks us as a brand from the burning, we will perish. I've heard that before. And then, no, you haven't. Hear, O earth, listen carefully, words of life. But no, the Scripture says God has spoken once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. God commands our attention. God's Word. I was reading God's Word. I looked up and there were several faces, and I know the flesh, but still it disturbs me when folks won't look at this book. I mean, actually, look at this book. It's not my word, it's not Moses' word, it's God's word. It's life or death. This is a life or death matter. I preach as a dying man to dying men. Truly, there's no promise of tomorrow. This is your life. Got to hear it. Words of life. Words of life. And only if God in mercy gives us ears to hear, heart to receive the word of His mouth. All right, He says, give ear. My doctrine. Verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My doctrine. What is doctrine? I told you that story of when I worked on the railroad, how that they would have little preaching services every Friday at lunchtime for whoever wanted to attend. And various self-pronounced preachers would come and spout off their stuff. One time the fellow who was in charge of that asked me to provide the preacher for one Friday. Well, I had a preacher. I knew a man that would preach. And the closer it came to the Friday where he was supposed to come, the more nervous that fella got, the fella in charge, because he knew we talked a lot about what we believed. Until finally, about on Thursday, he came up to me and said, Now, we've got people of all kind of faiths. He said, we have people of all different denominations. We don't try to. He said, tell this preacher, don't preach doctrine. Tell him, don't preach doctrine, just preach Jesus. What did my brother preach? I told him that. What did he preach? Faithfully preach 2 John 9. If any man abide not in the doctrine of Christ, he's none of his. The doctrine. That's exactly what he... What is doctrine? It's teaching. It's just a word for teaching. It's the doctrine of God. He says, my doctrine, my teaching. Now listen, this is important. Would you listen carefully? He says, my doctrine. Not trends, doctrines, plural. Doctrine, singular. You know, every time it speaks of the doctrine, God's doctrine, it's singular, my doctrine. Every time it speaks of man's teachings, it's plural. Every time it speaks of the devil, the doctrines of devil. But whenever it speaks of God teaching, it's one doctrine. Isn't that significant? Huh? Why is that so? Do you know? Because the doctrine of God is one. The teaching of God is one. All of this book is of one. From cover to cover, it speaks of one. The doctrine is the doctrine, I quoted it, of Christ. Let me quote it again. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. This whole book has one message. Christ and Him crucified. The whole book. All the doctrines, all the teachings of various things, all the truths go together to make up one truth. All the doctrines go together to make up the doctrine of salvation, which is in Christ and Christ alone. It's the story of Christ. And to the thirsty soul, the Lord says, to the sinful soul, the needy soul, the message of this sovereign mercy of God in Christ and Christ alone, he said, will drop as rain. My doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, shall come down like rain. Now, who needs rain? Parched and dry. My doctrine shall drop as rain, he said. Read on. My speech shall distill as the dew. Yes, rain as a small rain now upon the tender herbs, showers upon the grass. Now, right, as I said, right now may not be the time to appreciate rain. However, it's a blessing of blessing. There's no life will die on planet Earth. You go very long at all without this water that just comes down from the sky. I mean, just water pours out of the sky that sustains everything that has breath on this earth. It just freely falls from the sky. Water. What a blessing it is. Never take it for granted. Never grow tired of it. Never murmur and complain of it. We live because of it. Oh, my. But, you know, we've had so much of it. It's like everything. If we have too much of it, we take it for granted. Maybe even grow tired of it. But now he says, my doctrine shall drop as rain, as a small rain, as a gentle rain. Wednesday morning, I think it was, we didn't have service that night, so I hung around the house. And I went out on the front porch, and Wednesday morning, now it rained. And Tuesday and Monday, but Wednesday morning was the most pleasant rain of the year, I think. I sat out there on the porch, and it was just a real gentle rain, just real gentle. And on that metal porch roof, and oh, it was so refreshing. It was just, surely everybody in here can enjoy a gentle summer rain like that, huh? He said, my doctrine's going to fall like that. Not this driving torrent. I need to learn to preach like that. Not rain that just beats you down, but gentle, refreshing rain. As the dew, he said, the dew that distills on the small herb. Oh, my. Anybody have basil growing in your garden anywhere? That's the most, Nancy, that's it, isn't it? That's my favorite herb of all. That's the most fragrant herb on planet Earth. If you go out some morning where the dew has come up, if you have that, you walk anywhere near it, oh, it's wonderful. That's what he says my doctrine will be like. But only to the thirsty. My doctrine will drop as rain, rain that waters and moistens and refreshes and causes to grow. And doctrine that is fragrant and lovely and pleasant to the parched soul as the showers upon a grass. Because, here's what it is. Here's my doctrine. Verse 3. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. This is my doctrine. This is it. This is the doctrine which refreshes. This is the doctrine which gives life like water. I will publish the name of the Lord. Is this not a lesson in preaching for me? Huh? What are you going to preach? The name of the Lord. Any and every time. The name of the Lord. What's His name? What's His name? Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What's His name? Jehovah, God our Savior. That's the word, what the word Lord here is. All the way through, when you see the word Lord in capital letters, it means Jehovah, God our Savior. What's His name? Jehovah Jireh. Oh, anybody that's needy, the Lord will provide. What's His name? The Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Like that woman with issue of blood now, she went to the Lord. Jehovah Rapha. What's His name? Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, our captain in whom we trust. The Lord Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rea, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah. Know any others? Tzidkenu, to the unrighteous. That's like rain on the grass. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is ever present. What's His name? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's His name? Jesus. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their what? Sins. He said, their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. To sinners, that's a sweet name. Jesus. Something about that name. What's His name? Christ! Representative, Messiah, Mediator, Intercessor, Daysman betwixt us. The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now, I'm going to publish the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what His name is. The Lord God, He said to Moses. Merciful, gracious, who by no means clear the guilty, but forgiving iniquity. Abundant to pardon, merciful, gracious. What's His name? Oh, to the thirsty, that means a lot. What's His name? The Lord who's ever merciful, who delights to show mercy, who's ready to pardon. What's His name to a guilty sinner? Here it is. Ready to pardon. That's His name. Ready to pardon. My doctrine shall drop as rain. That's the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, He said in verse 3. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. What's the doctrine we're to preach? Our great God. That's what. Turn with me to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Ascribe ye greatness to our God. How much greatness? How great is it? Huh? Well, He's got a name above every name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How great is He? Ask the Shulamite maiden about her beloved. She'll tell you. He's the fairest of 10,000. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride and morning star. How great is He? Listen to all of God's people. Revelation 5, just begin with me in verse 9. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. Yea, they heard His voice, didn't they? Ascribe greatness to our God, angels. Okay, they said, we will. About the throne, beasts and elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. How much greatness? All power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing in every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. How much greatness? All greatness. Whatever word you can come up with. Whatever adjective you can use. I'm like Moses here in our text. He said over there, verse 31, about these people that talk about a rock. He's not a rock. He just rolls along at their whim. They talk about gods that can't save. They have no hands but their hands, no feet but their feet. Gods that can't save a flea. Gods whom Christ, yes, said here in this text, call on them, see if they'll save you. And they do. People call all the time on God. The whole world gets together collectively, calling on God. Do this, do that. He's not even listening. The God is not. Their gods can't save them. Why? They don't have ears. They're idols. Yeah, their God, their rock is not our rock. He's not. They're not as our rock. That's the next line here in our text. It says, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. I wish I could preach this like it ought to be preached. He is the rock. The rock. The Scriptures talks a great deal throughout the book about the rock. The rock. The rock. What's He talking about? He's talking about a chief cornerstone. In other words, that which, back in the old days, they used to build buildings on stone. They used to use stones. They didn't have poured concrete. They used to use stones, all right? The building, the whole building, started with the master builder laying a chief cornerstone. Cornerstone that was shaped and made just perfect. It had to be perfect. And it was generally the biggest of all. and it was laid in place. And then the whole building was fit to that. It had to fit accordingly to, it all went together according to that stone. And there it lay. And the scripture says, whatever the builder lays, it's laid. And nobody, the building, can say anything about it. And there she is. Staying right there. It's there to stay. And if that cornerstone is right, everything else is going to be right. And whatever you build on it, keep building, keep building. No matter how high you build it, if that cornerstone is set right, and everything fit to it, it's going to go up and be right. And it's going to stand according to the strength of that stone, that foundation. Well, the scripture says, Christ is that chief cornerstone whom God Himself laid. The cornerstone, the foundation of all things, rests on Jesus Christ. He is the rock of ages. When did God Almighty set this stone, this rock? When did He set Him? The rock of ages, before the world began, God said, this is My Son. This is the Christ. Upon this rock will I build all things. Heaven and earth is going to revolve around Him. Everything's going to be built on Him. Everything's going to stand or fall according to as it relates to Him. The foundation, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. By who? God Himself. It's laid. Men don't like it. I don't like that. Your religion's too narrow. There she is, boys. There she is. We don't like it. We'll move it. Been trying for years. Can't do it. Too big. You ever had a rock too big in your yard, Brother Henry, you couldn't get out? Told you about that stone in my driveway. I got it out. There's some rocks I can't get out. Well, there's a rock which no man can move. Thank God. Rock of ages. That's that rock that's cleft for me. How about you, John Davis? God said, there's a place by Me in the rock, in the cleft of the rock. I'll hide you when the overflowing scourge of My wrath comes by. It'll not come nigh you, but you'll see My back part, and you'll hear My name proclaimed. You'll see My goodness pass before you. It's a cleft of a rock, a hiding place, a shelter from the storm. Who is it? What is it? Christ, the solid rock. Ask that wayfaring ship floating out there on those raging waves. Yonder sits the rock. Just get your anchor in the rock. My anchor holds and grips a solid rock. On Christ the rock I stand. Ask that fella. Getting ready to meet God. What's your hope? What's your foundation? What's all your... You're going to leave this place? How can you bear it? Because I'm standing on the rock. I feel secure. I feel safe. Firm, solid rock on which we stand. He's the rock. You notice that? The rock is only one. The rock. His way, His work, verse 4, His work is perfect. Oh, aren't you glad about that? Huh? His work, the work that this rock did. He is the rock, and His work is perfect. I didn't know rocks did work. Yeah, they do. Well, they do. They're always there. Solid. And cast all the weight, your weight on it. No matter how, according to the rock, according to what you can build on it. He's the rock. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. His work of righteousness is perfect. His blood is perfect. It cleanses us from all sin. His intercession is perfect. Whoever Christ prays for, their faith will fail not. Because our rock doesn't fail. His work is perfect. His redemption, did Christ make a down payment? Then it's not perfect, is it? He made an atonement for His people. He paid for their sin. It's perfect. His work is perfect. All His ways, read on, and I'm going to close. His ways are judgment. All His ways are judgment. It's Scripture speaks much of this, how that God shall judge his people. That doesn't mean that they will be, that God, they stand before the judgment. When it talks about God judging his people, judgment. All my daughter's life, she has come to me to make decisions about things, ask me questions, and things that have gone on around our house that affect her. I make judgments. You understand? I make judgments. In other words, whatever it is that I decide, that's what we're going to do. That's what he means by judgments. All right? All his ways are judgment. Everything is according to the will and purpose of this God. Our God. Leroy. Everything. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not man's will. There's not one single thing that's left up to the will of man. Not one thing. Doesn't it say he worketh all things? Yes, it does. But these ignoramuses keep saying, "Here now, it's up to you." No, it's not. Now, they can have a God like that. I'm glad it's not up to me. Aren't you? I'm so glad. Now, little brick, if you'll add yourself to the house. Little stone, if you join up, you'll be all right. No, if he lays me on that foundation, I'll not be moved. I'll not be moved. Oh, everything works according to his purpose is for the good of his people. Everything. All his ways are according to his divine, all-wise purpose. Perfect discernment of our every need. He's the God of truth and without iniquity. The God of truth. Didn't Christ say, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life"? No man, be he Iraqi or American, no man, be he Indian or Chinese, no man, be he or she Japanese or French, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way to God, the only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I am the truth. Everything else is a lie. Every religion's a lie, but the religion of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. I am the life. Those that don't have the Son don't have life. But he that hath the Son hath life. The truth. That's the truth. So help me God. That's what God said. God of truth without iniquity. Holy, holy, holy is his name. Just and right. You see, fair. Men, women, children all over the world, when things happen, they say, "That's not fair. How can God?" He's just. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? That's not fair. Why do you think people have done away with the Old Testament? All they see is a God that's angry and a God that kills and a God that... We read it there in Deuteronomy 32, didn't we? The vengeance of God slaying the people. They don't like that. They say, "That's not fair. God ought to love everybody." No, sir, he shouldn't. No, he's just. That's the first thing he said. I'm a just God and a Savior, but first I'm a just God. I will by no means clear the guilty. I'm a holy and just and righteous God. And a Savior. So he will first be just, will he not? He'll do what's right. Everything that happens is right. It's just. Salvation is not us getting what we deserve. Not us getting what's fair. You know that? Salvation is not us getting what's fair. Salvation is us getting mercy. See, here's salvation. It's not fair. Jesus Christ took my punishment. He didn't do anything to deserve it. He didn't do anything to deserve it.
But God poured out on him his wrath and his judgment and his hell. That was me. Now here I am. I didn't do anything to deserve God's love and favor and goodness and grace. Nothing. God said, you get credit for what Christ did, and I'm going to give him what you did. That's not fair. Thank God. Salvation is by mercy. It's not by God being fair. If God was fair, he'd only let holy people into heaven. Good people would only be saved. That's what's fair. That's what the law says. But thank God. He's merciful. Okay? But yet he is just. Now he said he will by no means clear the guilty. God can't just up and forget sin. Forgive sin. It's got to be paid for. So, really, God does give me what I deserve. Because in Christ, I've been made righteous. I've been justified in Christ. When God sees me, he sees me as holy as Christ. I'm covered up in his righteousness. When God sees me, he sees me as holy and righteous, without blame, unreprovable in his sight. The only thing God can't see through is the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. So he is just. And the law comes and says he's a sinner. He deserves to be punished. God says, no, he's not. He's righteous. He's doing what's just. If Christ laid down his life for my sins, I must go free. The law demands it. Justice demands it. Justified. All right. Describe your greatness to our God. How much? Not enough time. Well, we're going to spend eternity doing it. Those people that I just read from, that's what they're doing right now. And never quit. Give him no rest, the scripture says, till you describe all greatness. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. I think this would be a good one if I could find it. 272. Yeah, that's it. 272. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Let's stand. Thank you.